You're listening to The Polished Woman with Jessica Bunavach, only on LA Talk Radio.
April, and we're going towards Mother's Day, Mother's Day month, which is on May next week. Wow, it's so fast, right, Aaron?
Absolutely.
Time flies so fast. Anyway, happy Monday and happy Polished Woman Day. It's, you know, and I'm your host for today, Jessica R. Bunavach. Today we have a very, very special episode because it's a pre-Mother's Day month. Then I want to talk about moms, our mother, and of course, grieving a mother. I mean, Era, I can't see it.
Sorry.
Okay, love. Loss is an inevitable part of life. And some are temporary, like when we lose, you know what? I'm just gonna read. I'm so sorry. No, okay. I write this and then I have it edited and then I just want to read it, but I'll just read it. Loss is an inevitable part of life. Some losses are temporary, like when we lose in touch with a friend for a few years, while others, like the death of a loved one, are permanent. Despite knowing this though, when we lose someone, it can be difficult to go through the process of grief. I went through that, difficult. We may end up feeling angry or start to feel anxious or act out of character, never realizing that as awful, as awkward as they may feel, that it is all in its own normal way. I mean, I felt this when I lost my father. Oh my gosh, 3 years, I was like, I had major, major, major anxiety. And I thought I was like, I was almost at the verge of like, shoot, am I gonna make it or not? It was really, really tough because I was really, really close to my dad. So, but today we're gonna talk about moms, and you know, it's going towards the Mother's Day, so I invited our good friend. She was on our show before. I think it was like our first few weeks that we started in the Polished Woman show. Okay, but she's here. Once again, I invited her because this is truly important. I want you guys, ladies, to stay tuned. Marissa, hello, Marissa Micali. Hello, welcome back to the Polished Woman show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Did you know that we won a couple of awards after that?
Yes, yes. I was like cheering you on every step of the way.
Thank you so much. Now you have a different story. We talked about last time recovery,
yes,
and
we
everything,
did.
But now we are talking about your mama.
Yeah, mama love.
Mama love.
My mama love.
Yeah, your mama love. I mean, but you look great.
Thank you. Thank you.
You know, amazing with this.
So do you. You're always fabulous.
Okay, so now on our show, we made quite, you know, we assessed a little bit of the show. And so now I want our guests to start with a little bit about themselves, a little bit testimony. You know, people want to hear this. They want to hear your life, what happened to you, you know.
Yes.
So tell our viewers and
our listeners. Oh, thank you so much for having me
here
today.
Who is Marissa Vitale?
Yes, yes. Well, thank you so much for being here with us. And, you know, just listening to Jessica when she was opening up the show, it was like, it's really bringing tears to my eyes and also such like a warm-hearted smile at the same time, because I mean, grief, like where do you even start with that, right? I mean, I lost my mother February 25th, was 2 years ago with her passing right before COVID, and it was a complete shock, unexpected. And you know, it really kind of stops you in your tracks and makes you reevaluate everything that you're doing. And it's been such a process going through that and just kind of redefining myself as a woman in the world and what do I want to do in the world. And also like looking over my shoulder and being like, wait, my biggest cheerleader isn't there anymore, you know, even though I know she's with me every step of the way. And so there's kind of like this transition that has happened of like still knowing she's there, but not necessarily in the physical form. And, you know, God bless my mother. Like, we were on a roller coaster of a ride of the mother-daughter relationship. And I really put her through the paces and she showed up every step of the way. And like Jessica shared earlier, I had been here previously talking about my recovery from heroin addiction. And I can say like my mom never left my side and she was there with me through it all. And, you know, we had a very tumultuous relationship and I'm just so grateful that I had the time with her, you know, and that we were kind of able to bring our relationship full circle. And I think that what I've come to understand about grief, and I'm still processing it, you know, 2 years in, is that not only is grief so heavy of an energy that it's hard to even move or think or do things, but it's like, I'm just so grateful that I was able to make amends with my mom because that's not part of my healing journey at this point in time. And it's just so important to tell the people that we love them and to really make things right, because once they're not here, like that's it. And I'm just so grateful that I was able to have that happy, joyous time with my mom before her passing. And I was actually really looking forward to more to come, you know? So yeah, it's definitely been a journey this whole time kind of thing.
Yeah, it's a, you know, the journey that you will go through when losing a parent, somehow it's unexplainable. I feel like it's a never ending grief, right? And even after now, I still cry. Like when I hear a song, like out of nowhere when you're driving, oh my God, all of a sudden like your tears will just, you know, yeah. Like, oh my God, I'm crying. Like you just think of them.
Yeah, because it triggers it for you, you know? Yeah. I also feel though, like in those moments, you know that they're with you.
Right?
I know that my mom is with me, right. I feel that that's when I become so emotional because I can feel her kind of with me and I would love to just hold her hand, but I can't, you know? And so that's where some of the sadness comes or the tears come. But, you know, I think it's also just a part of like learning who we are as women in the world, right? Now the parent-child relationship has changed, right? And so how do I mother myself? How do I parent myself? How do I cheer myself on in those moments? Or like when something hard happens, you're like, oh, I would love mom to be here talk to, or I'd love to talk to my dad about this, you know? And then you're like, oh man.
During your recovery time, you mentioned a while ago that she was really there for you.
Yes, she was.
She was, you know, she never judged you, never. I mean, can you share with us that whole situation? I mean, it's so hard because sometimes, okay, can I just share when my kids like do something, oh my God, seriously, I'm just like, okay, whatever, you know, it's your life, you know, like I would think about that, but then again, I would wake up and like, you know what, I have to be there. Like I have to like hug them and just like, you know, let them know that, you know, whatever you're doing is not right. You know, like you become that parent. I mean, you felt that love from your mom.
I did. She was there and she, like I said, just supported me and cheered me on and believed in me. And was like, you can do this, Marissa. Like you can totally do this, you know, and especially at the time where there were other extended family members that had judgment about what was happening or didn't know how to process what was going on. And it's like, I really felt like my mom stood up for me in a lot of those family situations.
Was she a big part of your recovery or your change?
She definitely was a big part in being in recovery and staying clean. Very, very much so, because she just kept telling me, you can do it. Like, you got this. Just keep going. You got it, you know? And we definitely had to redefine the relationship and the dynamic, and we did a lot of work on that, you know, and I spent many years in therapy at this point, you know, like really kind of going through these things, because you want to grow, you want to change, you want to kind of mend these relationships. But no matter what happened, she was there. Like, she was such a rock for me, you know? And even when we were kind of maybe having a difficult time, just knowing that she was there in my corner was, gave me enough confidence to like keep going, you know? She didn't necessarily have to be telling me all the time, I'm proud of you, but just knowing that she was there and that she supported me and that she believed in me. But she really gave me tough love when I first got clean too, you know? Like, I went back, I was allowed to go back home to my parents and I was doing outpatient at the time. And that's when I started working in the local diner, which was the inspiration for my award-winning film, Grace. And, you know, she was very like, you're gonna have to do drug tests being here. You don't have to pay rent, but you need to pay back all the money that you owe, and you need to have X amount of dollars saved before you move back into the city. So there, she really kind of put parameters in place, which I'm actually grateful that she did, looking back, because it really allowed me to have structure back in my life and to have something to work towards and to kind of keep moving forward type of thing. But I'm sure as a mother that that was really hard for her. But you know, even to the end, she never shared with me like her challenges during that time.
No.
And like hearing you as a mother, like, you know, like I almost wish that like I could be there for her on her journey of that, because I know on the flip side as a mother, like that's not easy to do, to see your child struggling or in a difficult situation, and like you said, being there for them. You
Eric,
know.
I have tissue.
I forgot to ask for tissues before. Like that might be good for this one.
This is.
I mean, I like to have a sense of humor.
This is why I love our show.
Thank you.
Very
I'll just put
normal.
This here.
Literally, you're just like watching two friends, like, you know, talking and having conversation.
Yeah, it's like a roller coaster. It's like we laughed, we cried. But she really was a force of nature, and she was a vibrant woman, and she was everybody's cheerleader, you know, and really from people that she, like the hostess at the restaurant who's a model, she's like, you're going to be on the runway and, you know, you're going to be fantastic and you're going to meet the best photographer to take beautiful photos. Like, she was always just cheering people on and whatever they were kind of working on.
I remember, ladies, when her mom passed away, I was a little bit fortunate on my side. When my dad passed away, I kind of like knew, because the doctor said, oh, the long birth, I mean, the 6 months, but it can be shorter and stuff, that I was able to really spend every single day with him for 3 months. I took care of him, did everything, spent time. But with you, it was a shocking, like, you've never expected. I feel like, shoot, that is really painful. I mean, I just can't imagine, like, not being able to, like, wait, what? I didn't even get to hug you. I didn't give it a, get to say I love you, you know? Like, oh God, you make me cry.
Because we'll pass them back and forth.
I think the best thing, oh my God, I'm crying. I think the best thing that I was able to do is to be able to say I love you to my dad, and him saying I love you to me and my siblings. That was so, but with you, I mean, I would literally, like, I don't know what I could have done. I mean, that's painful.
You know, my parents were on a cruise celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary, and they were actually in India at the time when she passed. And you know, she was a vibrant woman, full of energy and health, and they were at the table with their friends. She just ordered her glass of Pinot Grigio. She wasn't feeling well, and she excused herself from the table, and she had a massive heart attack. So right there in the dining room, so it was complete shock, you know, not expected. But I can tell you, I did see my parents off before they left on that trip. And of all the years kind of traveling back and forth between New York and LA and seeing my parents, like, I would always say goodbye at the airport, but I would never turn around and look back.
And for whatever reason, that day when I said goodbye to them, I turned around and I looked back. And there she was, just like still waving, like waiting for me to like turn around and look back. So in a way, I feel like I had that like final I love you moment, yeah. You know, because it was so out of character of how we usually would say goodbye. But something told me, look back, and we did, you know?
I love that.
Yeah,
that
so I feel your, like I that had was that your, little...
I love you by moment.
Yes.
And
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, this question is for women out there who have, you know, so now you're a dad.
Yes.
And you are the only child.
Yes, no pressure.
Yeah. You are the only child. Now, how... You know, okay, one thing, you know, you grieving and, you know, for your mom, how about your dad now? That responsibility.
Yes, yes.
That you have to take care of your dad, but at the same time, okay, I am not mom. You know, how am I going to give whatever things that he needed? Mm-hmm. How was that, you know, relationship? I mean, how was that life?
I feel like we are still figuring it out, and I don't know if we ever really will, but, yeah. You know, with my mom's passing right before COVID and quarantine, I almost feel like we didn't even really participate in what was going on in the world because we were just at home grieving with each other. Mm-hmm. So in a way, we kind of had this time and space to kind of just feel what we were feeling and not feel like we were missing out on life or missing things, you know, or having to go here and do this. And so it was almost as if kind of time stood still for us. Mm-hmm. And at the time, my boyfriend had come and was really helping kind of take care of the house, which was wonderful because then it just allowed me to kind of be present for my dad. And I was really aware that I was kind of walking him through grief. And in walking him through his grief, I was able to kind of have my own process of that. And so that was really, I mean, lovely in a strange way. I'm just so grateful that we had that intimate time together that was kind of unencumbered from the outside world of things that we had to do. And, you know, we kind of take it day by day. You know, now that the world has kind of opened back up again and people are doing things and he's had a chance to kind of meet more people and get into more of a routine, I feel like it's a little bit easier and it gets a little bit easier. But I also think it's important to have boundaries too because, you know, he was married for 50 years, living a certain way in a dynamic with a woman. And now here, yes, I am a woman, but I'm different. I'm a different woman.
Yeah.
And it's a different dynamic because I'm the daughter. And, you know, we've had our moments where we've gone kind of head to head at times. Yeah. And I've had to say, like, I'm not your wife. I am your daughter. Like, I am here to support you however I can, whenever I can. And I will do that. You know, so I think that sometimes these conversations are hard to have or uncomfortable to have, but you kind of have to have them.
Did you move back with your father?
Or I am spending time with him. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you prefer to be with him or, I mean, do you think he's gonna remarry again or?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I'm totally open to supporting him.
Yeah.
Finding joy and happiness in whatever form that is. and I think that that's important for all of us as people. And I'm, like I said, 100% supportive of that. But you do have to watch for the casserole ladies for sure.
I actually know somebody, Max's mom, she was our guest. And she is... I believe, like, when she met her, her husband passed away for, like, a long time and years ago, and she met another man at age 70 plus, like, 75 something. She could find love at age 75.
Yes.
It's amazing.
It is. Yeah. And I think it's out there for all of us as long as we're able to kind of open our heart and be present for that, you know? Yeah. So, and that's another interesting conversation that I had with my dad. I'm like, look, I fully support you, like finding someone, enjoying your time, enjoying your life. Like, I can't necessarily say I want to be closer.
Yeah.
Because my mom was always there to kind of buffer between us, And now that she's not there, it's like, you know, my dad and I will have some of these conversations that I would normally be having with my mom or something, you know, and now my dad's there. So, I think he kind of gets a kick out of it and finds it a little entertaining. He's like, oh, what's my daughter going to talk to me about now? You know?
Now, do you believe though that there are stages of grief?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, can you share, like, what are those, especially when a parent? Because that, I mean...
I don't even know if I've hit all of them yet, really. I mean, when it first happened, just the energy of grief, I just remember one day just sitting on the couch, feeling like I had 30 moving blankets on top of me, like so weighted down. Mm-hmm. And like my mind is saying to me, Marissa, you're hungry. Why don't you go to the kitchen and get something to eat? And my mind's telling me this, but like I couldn't even move my body.
Wow.
Like I couldn't even... Like my mind and my body were completely disconnected of like, okay, now we're gonna get up and go to the kitchen, you know? And so that was a really strange kind of sensation. And then, you know, it was just kind of this emptiness and shock. And I almost felt like kind of counting days, like when I got clean from heroin, of like, okay, just got through another day, one more day, another day, another day. And, you know, there's the denial, there's the sadness, there's the anger. Mm-hmm. There's the acceptance of it, you know, and I can't necessarily say that they go in any order, but I do feel like one day you could be in acceptance of it and the next day you could be really pissed off that she's not here anymore and why, you know, and I think that that's also a big question too, is like, why did this happen, you know? Mm-hmm. And I look at it as like, my mom, she finished on a high note. You know, she was the life of the party. She had a glass of vino grigio. She was in India on a cruise with her friends. You know, like she went out in style. She went out in her way. Yeah. You know, and I've been able to kind of look at it in that way. However, you still ask, but why? Why? Okay, you could have gone out on a high note, but maybe like in a month from now, you know, or like 2 months from now, still could have been a high note. You know. And I've prayed a lot, I've meditated a lot, I've written a lot, and, you know, kind of what's come to me is that when it's your time, it's your time.
It's your time, I know.
And there's really nothing you can do about it. And for me on my journey, that's just what's been revealed. I know everybody has their own beliefs and what their thoughts are about when we cross over and when we pass, but that was what was revealed to me. And when I kind of sat with that, it allowed me to accept that, like, okay, that was her time, you know, kind of thing. And also that she had to be on that timeline because that's when she would meet my dad and then I would have been born, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what brought me into the world. So, you know, it kind of brings up a lot of these bigger questions that you think that you really want to be thinking about, like on a Saturday afternoon or whatever day of the week it is, but it really kind of makes you think about some of the larger life questions at times, you know, of why are we here and what is it all about?
Yes, you know? And you told me about this, that when you lost her, there was a big change in your life.
Yes.
Now, have you found that change? What is the change that you found after losing her?
I think the biggest thing is that it made me sit with a lot of questions of what am I doing in my life? Mm-hmm. Are the things that I'm doing in my life, especially like in my career?
And remember, she produced this amazing award-winning show.
Yes.
A TV show.
Grace.
Yes.
Called Grace.
Grace.
And, you know, it made me even question, like, do I even want to produce anymore?
Yes.
Or is that something that was, you know, a fun thing that my mom and I had to kind of banter and talk about with each other and share that experience together? And so it really made me reevaluate all areas of my life of, like, what was working, what wasn't working, what do I want to continue doing, and also what is the life I want to live look like, because I've never imagined my life without my mom. Mm-hmm. you know, call me like a Peter Pan or like the kid never wanting to grow up, but like, you know, I still see my parents as these like invincible people and that they'll like always be there no matter what, you know? And then when one passes, you're like, oh, wait, that's not really how it's gonna be. So what does the future version of life look like for you, or what do you want to do, you know? And so it really made me think a lot about those things, and I'm still figuring those out, you know, and I'm still answering those questions. I think what I have come to the conclusion of is like, it's so important, like happiness is a journey, it's not a destination, and it's so important every day to choose what brings you joy, what feels good, and what makes you happy, right? Because we never know. And if we can follow in this positive path, oh my God, so many things. Blue sky, sunshine, rainbows, wiggling my toes in the sand, just splashing around in the waves. I'm really enjoying the monarch butterflies that are kind of like fluttering around this time of year. But yeah, you know, it's like, that's a great question, because there's things that I can tell you right off the bat make me happy or fill me with joy, but then every day I'm learning new things too, right? Yeah. It's like, who knew that I really was very joyful learning how to roller skate during COVID, you know?
Those little things, right?
It's like, that was great, you know, being able to roller skate again. So you kind of start to discover these things.
The things that actually really makes you happy. And, you know, I always tell, nowadays after COVID, I told, you know, we went through a lot during COVID, but it was so bizarre that, what the heck, when we didn't have anything, that's when I was happiest the most. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is, and I told my children, and they were like, what do you mean, Mom? I said, look at us, we're so happy. We're doing Bible study, we love God, we have our faith, we literally are together all the time. Before this, we were all busy doing our own thing. And we were like, we don't, you know, we see each other, but it's not like the intimacy. You know, when you go through difficulties and like, you know, losing somebody, or when I lost my dad, that's when I really, the change, right, that happens. Like, okay, now, what do I do? It's not the material things that makes you happy. Just the little things that you just mentioned, those are the things that makes you happy, right? Before it was all about our dream, our goals, our this, we want to do this, blah, 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 we want to win a award, you want to win a award. But okay, it made you fulfill something about, you know, something yourself. But then again, the simple things that really gives you joy.
And I think also the idea of family, right? You're talking about your family and kind of coming together in these simple moments. And when we lose a parent, it also makes us think about what does family mean, you know? And, you know, we were talking about being with my father during COVID, and it's like food really brought us together.
Yeah.
We spent a lot of time cooking in the kitchen, and it was like that was kind of our love language of like how we connected with each other, and we kind of discovered that, you know? And we took all of his like old Italian family recipes and turned them vegan because I'm vegan, you know? So we had like this kind of fun experience together, and we got to learn about each other in a new way, you know? And so I think family is so important, like you said, how we communicate and keeping it simple, and
I love that. Wait, are we done? Oh my God, it's so fast! It's so fast. But I mean, okay, before we end the show, I want you to advise, you know, our ladies out there, our women out there. Is there a take home for someone who just lost a mother or lost a parent? How can their, you know, how can they build their relationship with their mom while they're here, or any take home?
Yes,
For Mother's Day especially.
Yes, for Mother's Day. I really feel like it's appreciate them while they're here with all their flaws and imperfections, because nobody's perfect, and just really love them where they're at, especially as they're getting older, and be the parent to them
that you wanted, that you had, that you dream of. And that can really help the relationship in the moment. Mm-hmm. And I think in terms of grieving, I say be easy with yourself. Like, it's okay to feel what you're feeling. It's part of being human. It's something that we have to go through, even though our society doesn't really like to talk about it. Mm-hmm. But what you're feeling is normal, and a lot of self-care. Do what you feel. Mm-hmm. If you feel like staying in bed one day, stay in bed one day. If you feel like making this like 5-course meal, yes, just to be cooking, and that makes you feel creative, then do that, you know, or go for a walk.
Yeah.
Journaling was huge for me, just writing a lot of my feelings so that I felt like I was able to get them out of my head and kind of onto the page, you know, and talk with them, because they're right here with all of us. They're like, my mama love and your father, like, they're literally here with us right now, you know?
Yeah, they're just around.
And yeah, she's like, that Jessica is so fabulous. You know?
So. I love her. I know.
So, yeah.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much, Marisa. And I hope to invite you again.
Yes, fabulous.
All right.
Always a pleasure.
I know. Thank you so much. She's always like, and she looks amazing.
No, so are you. And fabulous.
We have
love
to talk
it
about, you know, next time if yes, you're going to meet someone. Hopefully. All right. Grieving can feel like a very lonely thing. But reality is that almost everyone you know has lost someone. Especially, of course, 2 years ago. And while it may not be the same, someone that you lost is an experience that in many ways bond us. And so, if you find yourself struggling, reach out to someone that you trust. Yeah, that's very, very important. Reach out to somebody. And if you are, again, if you are that person, like we talked about the past few weeks, pick up the phone. If you are a friend, pick up the phone and just listen. Hug them, listen to them cry, and give them love, which means don't forget to give love to the next person that you see and after watching and listening to our show. Thank you so much, and thank you so much, my love.
Thank you
for sharing.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Oh my God, it's so nice. See you next week. Bye. Oh, cheers.
Cheers.
Don't forget our show. Rosé. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Polished Woman with Jessica Blunovac, only on LA Talk Radio.